We appreciate you coming our way and sharing this time of worship with us this morning. It's spring, and spring, sometimes we think about baseball. Now, we also are going to talk about the resurrection, but I'm going to get there by baseball today. Is that all right? Is that legal? Okay. We enjoy going to a couple of major league games every year, two or three major league games, and one advantage of being in this area is you have actually two teams you can root for. And we've been to see the Giants, and we've been to see the A's, and that's well and good. But you know what? I have never seen a triple play in Major League Ball. Now, I know I've checked the internet. I know it's happened, but I've never seen it. I'm just curious. Any of you seen a triple play in Major League Ball? Hey, a couple of you have. Good for you. Good for you. Wonderful. This morning, we're going to talk about a spiritual triple play. A triple play that didn't happen on a diamond, that happened on a cross and an empty tomb. And that triple play came about by the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus of Nazareth called out sin, called out Satan, and called out death, and they were all out. Because of the cross and because of the resurrection, sin, Satan, and death are out. That doesn't mean there's not sin in the world. It means the consequences spiritually of sin have been taken by the blood of Jesus onto the cross. That we don't bear the guilt of sin before God because of that. It doesn't mean we don't die. We do die. But we don't die eternally. There's eternal life. We know that because Jesus was raised from the dead. The first fruits of the one risen from the dead. And we know that Satan has been taken out. Not that Satan's not active today. You look around, you know he's active, right? But what we do know is Satan's power has been limited by the cross, and we know that he is not the final victor, because we've read the end of the story. We've read Revelation. Amen? We know that the final victor is Jesus, and that victory became true at the resurrection in a very real way. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. Open your hymnals, not your Bibles this morning, but your hymnals to number 97. We're going to sing that in a few moments as an invitation song. But before we do that, we're going to go through and take a look at these words. The words that encourage us, words that direct us, words that focus on the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice with me that first phrase, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus was a startling surprise to his enemies and to his friends. Now, Jesus had foretold that he would be raised from the dead. In fact, in Mark chapter 9, as they were coming down the mountain, that is after the transfiguration, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone that they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Well, there's a hint right there, wasn't it? But that kind of went in one ear and out the other. Have you ever had something go in one ear and out the other? Disciples had a lot of stuff go in one ear and out the other. They didn't understand what Jesus meant by rising from the dead. When he appeared to the women at the tomb who had come to wrap his body in spices, the women went and told the 11 remaining apostles. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense. The women had been to the tomb. They had seen the body was gone. And yet, they could not believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" Jesus proved the resurrection by saying, "Hey, I'm hungry. Can you feed me? I'm not just a spirit. I'm a body raised from the dead." And he ate before them. So we cry out with the startled and surprised disciples, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah." And that hallelujah is saying, God be praised, Jehovah be praised. There's no higher reaction to the resurrection of Jesus than to say, praise God for the resurrection of Jesus. Would you say the words on the screen with me today? Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next phrase of our hymn. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus caused a party on earth as well as a party in heaven. The angels were excited, but the people on earth were excited. Sons of men praised God, and so did the angels of heaven. The resurrection of Jesus was an event that caused the universe to ring out in praise to the Lord. And the hills of Jerusalem and the heights of heaven called out in praise to God for the resurrection of His Son from the dead. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply. Hallelujah. You see, the resurrection of Jesus was a time when heaven and earth celebrated that God had a triple play at the cross and the empty tomb. That the power of sin, the power of Satan, and the power of death have all been called out by God and shown that God is more powerful than all three through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection was God's triple play against sin and against Satan and against death. And there's only one adequate response to that triple play of God in the resurrection of Jesus. And that is to say, with the words of these songs, hallelujah. So say the words on the screen with me. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply, hallelujah. The hymn continues with these words. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle's won. Did you know the cross is the greatest spiritual battle of all time? It was a powerful battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, with humanity at its worst and deity at its best. You remember Jesus prayed before the cross, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Jesus didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to die, but he was willing to submit his will to the Father and go to the cross and die for us. You see, it wasn't nails that held the body of Jesus to the cross. It was submission of his will to the Father because he knew that we needed the forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Nails could not hold him to the cross. He could have been rescued by 10,000 angels. Instead, he died alone for you and for me because he knew we needed to be saved from our sin and from Satan and from the overwhelming power of death. So Jesus stayed on that cross, and God honored that obedience through the resurrection of his Son from the grave. And as Christians, we trust in that resurrection because in that resurrection, God has shown he's more powerful than sin and Satan and death. At the resurrection, we see that love's redeeming work is done. The cross is over because Jesus fought the fight and the battle was won at the cross. The spiritual battle between good and evil, between right and wrong, between God's will and man's will was won at the cross because Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." I don't believe he meant, "I'm done, this is done." He was certainly glad it was over. But what he was saying is, the work that God has given me to do has been completed. Another way to say this is, it's been completed. I have finished the course. I've done what God wanted me to do. It is finished. I don't think that's just a reference to the suffering, but to his sacrificial work on the cross. And the resurrection celebrates the victory of the cross. The resurrection was Jesus' victory lap, if you will. It was public for all to see, that we might say, hallelujah, praise God. Ephesians chapter 2 has these words. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given. Would you say the words on the screen with me? Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight. The battle's won. Hallelujah. The next phrase, lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sits in blood no more. Hallelujah. Listen to the words of Matthew chapter 27. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. That is from noon until 3 o'clock, normally the brightest sun of the day. Darkness came over the entire land when Jesus was crucified. The crucifixion was a time of spiritual darkness, yes, but it was also a time of physical darkness. It was like the sun was eclipsed into darkness, as the Son of God died on that cross for my sin. But the resurrection undid that spiritual darkness. The resurrection ended that spiritual darkness. So lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sits in blood no more. Say it with me. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sits in blood no more. Hallelujah. The next word of the hymn, vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Hallelujah. You know, the Jewish opponents of Jesus tried to prevent his resurrection. They had more going on in their minds understanding the teaching of Jesus than the disciples did sometimes, because they remembered, well, you know, Jesus said that he would be risen from the dead. So the chief priests and the Pharisees sent to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said," that's Jesus they're talking about, "after 3 days I'll rise again. So we gave the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples would come and steal the body and tell people he's been raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate's response is, "Take a guard and secure it as best you know how." The power of the Roman army could not hold the resurrection of Jesus at bay. The Roman guards could not stop the resurrection of Jesus. No, the disciples did not come and steal the body. The tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers. It was all in vain that this tomb was guarded, was watched, was sealed, because the power of God was at work that day. The power of God was at work to raise his son from the dead. Say the words with me on the screen. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Hallelujah. Our next phrase. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids his rise. Hallelujah. Jesus told his apostles that on this rock I will build my church, when Peter confessed his faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16, 18, Hades is sometimes mistranslated hell, and the song has adopted that word hell instead of Hades here. But the correct rendition actually is Hades. Christ has burst the gates of death, of Hades, of the unseen realm of the dead. Christ has burst forth from the realm of the dead to live again. He has shown us that death is not the end, but the beginning of a new existence. And he has proven it through his resurrection, bodily resurrection, from the tomb. So say the words with me on the screen. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids his rise. Hallelujah. Christ has opened paradise. Hallelujah. To the repentant thief on the cross, Jesus said these words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Luke chapter 23, verse 43. The Hadean realm, the realm of the dead, consists of paradise and torment. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, you may recall, was in torment. Lazarus within Abraham's bosom, which is a pseudonym for paradise. The sacrifice of the blood of Jesus and his resurrection of the dead opened our way to paradise, opened our opportunity to be with the Lord in paradise. Now, I don't know about you, but paradise sounds a little bit better than the alternative, doesn't it? And it's Jesus and his resurrection who has opened the way into paradise. Say the words with me. Christ has opened paradise. Hallelujah. Lives again our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting. Hallelujah. You know, a dead leader is not worth following when you've got a live one. And that's why the empty tomb of Jesus speaks volumes over the occupied tomb of Moses, the occupied tomb of Muhammad, the occupied tomb of Confucius, or any other religious leader. Because the tomb of Jesus is empty by God's power. He lives again, our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where Paul uses these words, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, the resurrection of Jesus is God's triple play. He called out sin. He called out Satan. He called out death. All are losers. And by the way, sin, Satan, and death play on the same team. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus has won over all of them in His resurrection. And He lives again, never to die again. He was bodily ascended into heaven. And yes, He is coming back at some time to receive us who are Christians and take us to be with Him forever in glory. We have an eternal place of abode with the Lord. And our assurance of that is an empty tomb where Jesus was raised from the dead. Say the words on the screen with me. Lives again, our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah. The next phrase, once He died, our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where's thy victory, O boasting grave? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9 says it this way. But now He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Do you know Jesus didn't have to die over and over and over again? He had to die once for sin. And His blood covered all of the sins of the old covenant, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, just as surely as it covers our sins today. The blood of Jesus is the universal cure for sin. Universal. All time. Jesus didn't have to continually die for sin. He died once for all for the sins of all. Now, all will not accept His sacrifice, and all will not submit to Him, but potentially all can benefit from that sacrifice if they will choose Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus was once for all people for all time on that cross. Say the words with me. Once He died, our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where's thy victory, O boasting grave? Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Father, we're humbled. We're humbled that You love us so much that You gave us Your Son. And Father, we're humbled at Your power, which has overcome death and sin and Satan at the cross and the tomb. Lord, we're thankful for that glorious resurrection that gives us assurance of Your power and Your work in our lives. Father, we trust in that risen Savior. We trust in the One that You brought forth from the dead. We trust in the One that lives forever at Your right hand. We trust in the One, Father, who never succumbed to sin, that death could not hurt, could not harm, because He was Yours. And Father, we're thankful that death does not harm us because we're Yours. Not because we're perfect, but because we're forgiven, Lord. Thank You for the blood of Jesus that covers us when we turn to You in faith and repentance and baptism. Father, help us to walk clearly in Your path. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes on Jesus and our hearts submitted to You. Help us, Lord, to reflect that victory You've already given us over sin and over Satan and over death. And reflect that to others in our lives. Help us, Father, simply be Your people and live in the shadow of an empty tomb that shows Your power. Bless us this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing the song. Which song would you guess we're going to sing? Number 97. That's a hard one, isn't it? You already know the words, don't you? If you need the words, they'll be on the screen, or you can read it out of the book if you want. But if you know the song, if it's in your heart, you don't even have to look there. You can just sing from your heart. But before we sing, we need to remember something. If you're a Christian, you've got something to sing about. You've got an empty tomb to celebrate. You have a joy to claim because of Jesus and His resurrection. Express that joy in song. If you're not yet in Christ, this is also a song of invitation. It's a song of proclamation to those of us who are in Christ, who have submitted ourselves to Christ. But for those outside of Jesus, it's a song of inviting. It's an invitation to come forward to the front and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm turning a spiritual U-turn, and I'm turning toward the Lord, and I want to be buried with the Lord in baptism, just like it says in Romans chapter 6. Notice these words. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is when we cross that point and say yes to Jesus. When we own the sacrifice of the cross. When we trust in the risen Savior. It's the time we submit our hearts to the Lord. And if you're with us this morning and have not done so and are ready to make that step of gospel obedience and begin a life as a Christian, we invite you to a risen Savior. Let us know if we can serve you this morning. Let's stand together and sing the Risen Christ.